There are good reasons why freedom of religion at work is a phrase that sets off alarm bells for many of us. The elevation of a certain kind of conservative political Christianity has been elevated to untouchable status in the service of American culture wars. And a victim has been the core American value of religious freedom itself. Working relentlessly to reclaim that value for all is the Religious Freedom and Business Foundation, working for workplace religious diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I am pleased to welcome Foundation President Brian Grimm to State of Belief Radio. Brian, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, it's great to be with you. And that was a nice introduction.
I wish I could say I wrote it, but... So, Brian, the language of religious freedom has been effectively hijacked by the religious right in this country. And it feels like we need to start this conversation with a definition of what exactly it is that we're talking about. So what is your definition of religious freedom?
Well, I have three. I don't know which one you want. Maybe I'll weave them all in. But sort of at the fundamental nature, I see religious freedom as something that sets people of faith free to do good. That's not a definition that many people talk about, but I think that that's behind why religious freedom is an important right, because people of faith organize charities and all kinds of activities that do good. And I think religious freedom, you know, guards that space in society. But the sort of the bigger definition comes from Article 18 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, where it's coupled with freedom of conscience, belief, and religion. And so those are intertwined. So it's, in short, it's the ability to have a faith, change your faith, or have no faith at all. So, you know, atheists are just as much included in religious freedom protections as are people of faith when you put it in that broader umbrella. So I think that that's how I approach religious freedom, that it's, you know, something that's there for protection for everyone. And everyone can benefit from it. And I think, as you said in the introduction, it's important that Americans, and not just Americans, but the world come together around this, what I consider a very positive human right.
And what's the third definition?
Well, I think that the third definition is, you know, within the U.S. context. When I think of the workplace, there's two things. One is that within the workplace, there shouldn't be any discrimination based on religion or belief, either in hiring, firing, promotion, job assignments, et cetera. And there should also be accommodation, a reasonable accommodation of people's beliefs and their actions in the workplace. So I think that's a sort of more technical definition when it comes to our workplace, but it's one that I think is important. And corporate America is coming around to embracing that more fully.
Well, let's talk for a minute about corporate America. How did you get started in this massive work of advocacy for people of all faiths and no faith in business and the workplace?
Well, I have a long history. I can go way back to, I worked in China for many years. I worked in the Soviet Union for many years and in the Middle East for many years. And one of the, back going back to the Soviet days, I was working in Kazakhstan, and the Soviet Union was dissolved in my NGO's office building. Boris Yeltsin and all these guys showed up, and I was living in the prime minister's compound, working with the government on different initiatives as an NGO. And then all these guys showed up one night in our compound. The next morning, they came down to my office building. We had a big round table, and they ended the Soviet Union. And then the next week, the now president, instead of first party secretary of Kazakhstan, Kazakhstan country instead of a Kazakh Soviet Socialist Republic, asked if I would help them turn their Communist Party training school into a business school, which we did, and working together with Coalition of People. And so right at the start of a new country, the new president saw that there was some connection between faith and freedom and, you know, business. And so, you know, I've sort of been working in this space, you know, for some years, but I really got into it more directly after I had worked at the Pew Research Center for about 8 years, developed an index that measures restriction on religious freedom around the world, and then saw where you have fewer restrictions. You have more human rights in general, but you also have more sustainable economies. And you have a bundle of rights, even progressive rights like LGBTQ plus protections, where, you know, we find that where you have more religious freedom, you have more LGBT plus acceptance. It doesn't mean the two are causally connected, but the correlation is quite, you know, interesting that they move in the same direction. So once you measure something, then, you know, as a person of faith, there's a whole book in the Bible called Numbers. And so those numbers sort of motivated me, and I saw it as a calling to step out and start this foundation more than seven years ago to focus specifically on this topic.
If you'd pick the book of Judges, you'd be working on our judicial system, I imagine.
There's all kinds of professions in the Bible.
The functional definition of religious freedom that you subscribe to, that you drew from the UN Declaration of Universal Human Rights, talks about faith as something that is internal. It is conscience, it's belief, it's religion. Yet the conflicts in the public arena tend to be through practice. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, so I mean, in that Article 18, it also talks about being able to celebrate and practice these beliefs and religions alone and in community and teach them to your children. So there is a public aspect to that. And that's where the rub sometimes comes. It's when a faith, you know, a certain faith teaches one thing and society's heading in a different direction, and you want to call them back and say, you know, thus says the Lord, as they might say, you know, that we shouldn't do that, or we should do this. So I think that one of the issues that often comes up is that people they hang religious freedom just on one or two hooks. So, you know, it's like, well, religious freedom means this, and we want politics to support this. So I think that that's what it's a reductionist view towards religion, that it's only this one issue. So full disclosure, I'm a Catholic convert. So after my time in the Soviet Union, I was Baptist at the time, became Catholic. And that's a whole story in itself. But one of the things that I find very appealing about Catholicism is the Catholic social teaching. And there's, you know, if you look at the social teaching, there's 30, 40 different things that come out of Catholic faith and the scriptures that Catholics focus on: poverty, the environment, all these other things. So I think part of what's important about religious freedom is realizing that faith groups don't just have one issue that they focus on, but there's many. And so sort of getting that, even that pluralistic approach of faith into the public square, I think would be really important. And that's what I see happening in corporations. They're not focusing on those issues that might divide us, but instead having people be able to, you know, share the fullness of their faith in that context. And so that's where I see religious freedom flourishing.
My guest is Brian Grimm, president of the Religious Freedom and Business Foundation. I said right at the beginning that one of our greatest concerns has been the ever narrower application of religious freedom as a concept that protects only one religious faith, a concept that has been deployed in the American culture wars with great success. So how do you make sure that that distinction is protected, that religious freedom in the public square is always a shield and never a sword?
One of the things I do, I can just give an example, is to make sure that we include everybody, or, I mean, that's a big thing, include everybody, but include people that that have a stake in this, all the as many players as we can. So we just had a large national conference where we had head of diversity for Google as a keynote. We had 11 vice presidents of Fortune 500 companies speak about religious inclusion in the workplace, from Texas Instruments, Intel, PayPal, and many other companies. So at that conference, we invited Debbie Allen, who's the executive director of the Secular Coalition for America. And she's an atheist, she's a humanist, she's a non-theist, she's warm towards religion. She sees that faith has done a lot of good things in the people that she knows and loves. And so she's not anti-religion. But does she get invited to religious freedom things very often? You know, that's not who you first think of would come to such an event. And so I think that that's what we need to do. We need to, who else is interested in religious freedom? And let's all bring all those people together. And it worked beautifully. You know, it's, she shared from her heart, and we had a beautiful discussion. So I think that's part of it, is to not, you know, not just be with people like ourselves, you know, and then that expands this out much further than just, you know, one or two issues.
To really be intentional about it.
Yes.
So, Brian, in addition to advocacy, I know that you do a lot of very valuable research. Would you talk for a minute about how different industries compare in terms of religious freedom? You've mentioned a few companies, but are there industries that are better at this than others?
Well, it works across all industries. I'll begin there and then get to which ones seem to be doing better. But just three big Fortune 500 companies, Tyson Foods, they're in meat manufacturing, and, you know, they have plants, and, you know, it's real hands-on work. American Airlines, they're moving people around the world, you know, in airplanes, less than they used to, but that's what their job is. And then Intel and Texas Instruments and companies like that, you know, they're working on software design and coding and, you know, things, Google, you know, it's all technology. So all of these companies have excellent programs in terms of religious inclusion. Tyson Foods has chaplains at over 100 chaplains on staff, serving the needs of all people of faith and of no faith. And it's just like Karen Diefendorf, their head of chaplains, says, you know, people's problems don't end once they walk through the factory door. You know, whatever's going on back home, whether it's a sick relative or someone died or a divorce or a move or whatever, all those things affect people. And that's what the chaplains are there to help with. And then American Airlines, they have a chaplain who's also a chief flight controller. And they also have employee groups for different faiths and helping. But the tech companies, in particular, in recent years, have really understood why this is important. I'll give an example, and I won't name the company that the person came from, but the one that he went to. So a guy in Silicon Valley, top engineer, you know, somebody you don't want to lose, wanted to pray, you know, and have his meetings in the company scheduled around his prayer times. He's Muslim. And the company said, well, no, we're not going to start doing that. And then another company down the road, Salesforce, which has a employee group called Faithforce. And he said, hey, I hear you guys are open to people like me. And they said, sure, come on over. Well, you know, you don't have to lose too many top talent, too much top talent before you say, whoa, this is not a feel good issue. This is a bottom line business issue. So because the tech companies deal with, you know, more intellectual property, you could say, accommodating that, one, you'll retain people more, but two, they want inspiration. You know, everybody sort of knows Google stories of different ways they try to motivate people to have the next big idea. Well, if you're made to check your faith at the door when you come in, then you're leaving what might be your inspiration outside, and then you're sort of working like you got to hide who you really are. So the companies have seen that this, is not really good for business. In fact, it's good for business to be open and inclusive. So I think the tech companies are leading in this. I mean, there might be other reasons, but I think those are some of the main ones. And I think others will follow, because where your big companies go, I think eventually, most companies will also go there too.
How have the attitudes that you've been tracking changed over the last couple of decades?
So this year we released an index. This was the second year we did it, on measuring the religious diversity, equity, and inclusion within corporate America. In the index this year, Intel has taken the top spot. And one of the reasons is because they have a variety of religious employee groups, and they're adding others. They have one for atheists, agnostics, Christians, Muslims, Jews, and others. This year, they added one for Baha'i. Now, of course, you're familiar with Baha'i, but it's one of the smallest world religions. But Intel, one of the largest, most successful companies, said, well, you're just as important as the other bigger religions. You can have your group too. And so they stood that up, and they got points on the index for that. So it's, just interesting how recognition of one of the smallest religions by one of the biggest companies gave them a high score on this index. And so I think that that's part of what's changing in America, is that people recognize that we are more diverse country religiously. I know that there's, with the politics and all of that, that there's been some backlash against that. But within corporate America, within many segments of society, that's seen as a good thing. And so that's the change that I'm seeing, is that when a small group like the Baha'i all of a sudden help a big company become successful, that's a story. And I think when those stories get out of people of different faiths helping other people or helping our society in general, then I think we're going to move toward a more acceptance of this pluralism that we're in. At least that's what I'm hoping. And I think corporate America is leading the way. That's why I'm hopeful.
Brian, earlier this month, the Religious Freedom and Business Foundation concluded its Faith at Work conference. What do we need to know about that?
Well, I mentioned one thing. We had the Secular Coalition for America there. We had representatives of Black churches there who are also in business. We had big corporations with multi-faith in involvement. And I'll just give one from Intel. They had a panel talking about we need to have greater sensitivity and thicker skin. And that was the title of their panel. And they had, and it's not a joke, but they had, the head of the Jewish group, the Muslim group, and the Christian group, the three of them got on, and they're all best buddies. And Hadi Sharifi, he's the head of their Muslim group, originally from Iran. And in his sharing, he said, I didn't ever know anything about Baha'i until May Makhzoomi, who's heading now their Baha'i group, started to tell me about it. And of course, in Iran, Baha'is are highly persecuted. Yes. So here you see something that you couldn't ever imagine in Iran happening in the workplace in America. And then one of the stories that Hadi shared was recently Intel, they've gone through a leadership transition. The old CEO's leaving. They're bringing in a new CEO because of business issues. But he talked about it, and he said, that was so emotional for me, because, when our old CEO was giving his farewell address, I just broke down and cried. This is a guy with a PhD in, whatever kind of engineering he does. And he said, why would I cry? When he said, well, the reason is I have this interfaith friendship with my Christian brother and my, you know, my Jewish brother. And next year we're all going to go to Jerusalem and we can travel again and get some great hummus. You know, it's all about the food. And isn't that a beautiful just story of what happens when you open these relationships within the workplace? So the theme of the conference was authenticity and connection. And every panel touched on that in one way or another, talking about why when you open your door, as Hadi said, he can bring not his whole self to work, but his whole soul to work. You know, what boss doesn't want that? You know, we want that kind of commitment, but they earn the commitment because of their recognition that this is an important area for people. So we also had the general counsel for the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission speak and sort of laid out, you know, here's what it means to cross the line and religious discrimination, but here's what it means to do more with the religious accommodation. And, you know, we just had such a wealth of different kinds of talks. And we also had sessions on faith, technology, and artificial intelligence. The chief ethicist for Microsoft joined in the discussions with faith-based ethicists. So I saw it as truly a watershed conference. We had one the year before where people came in person, but this year, because it was virtual, you know, like I mentioned, we had 11 vice presidents of Fortune 500 companies participate. You know, most of them prepared their videos ahead of time, but you know, they all wanted to speak into what's going on.
If our listeners want to see some of these sessions, are they available online?
They are. It is still the conference platforms there, and they're all on demand. There's a fee to register, but we're going to release them bit by bit over time on the Religious Freedom and Business Foundation's website. And the short name for that is faithandbusiness.org, faithandbusiness.org. And the talk we've released this week is the keynote by the head of diversity for Google, who's by background Jewish from Argentina, and that played heavily into why he saw the importance of bringing faith into their diversity and inclusion at Google.
So I'm guessing that by visiting that website, our listeners can also learn more about the work of the Religious Freedom and Business Foundation and how to get involved.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're not as much of an organization as we are a movement. So, you know, we'd love to connect with people, network with people who are interested in this and, you know, build out this, this momentum of what we think is a, you know, a more civil society.
So remind us of the website again.
faithandbusiness.org.
Great. Dr. Brian Grimm is president of the Religious Freedom and Business Foundation, working for workplace religious diversity, equity, and inclusion. Brian, it is a pleasure to meet you. Thanks for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you, Jack. Great to be here.